I guess this is the title, because that's the other half written down. The best I can come up with is my light on. Is your light on? I want my light to be shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of passages of Scripture I want to spend a little bit of time in this evening before we get to that song that we passed out, and it's no mystery song tonight. It makes it better if I can make it a mystery song. But I'm the type of person that, I don't know about you, but I enjoy being in the dark. There was a time when I was afraid of the dark, but now I enjoy being in the dark. I love to just go for a walk in the dark. And without a flashlight, because your eyes will adjust and you'll be surprised what you can see if you just leave the silly light off and leave it at home. But there is, my wife sometimes will ask me, because I like to have a night light in the house. Because I wake up quite often. If I get an hour of sleep at one time, I think I'm doing pretty good. But some of you my age might understand what that's all about. I did go an hour and a half the other night. Well, I was so proud of myself. But I like a night light in the house because I get up sometimes in the middle of the night. I don't know where I am. And I found out that my house is a meticulous housekeeper, even when we got kids around the house, which we don't right now, but I leave some of my toys out. So she's always picking things up, so I don't have to worry about stepping on things. But sometimes I just forget where walls are. So I like to have a night light on, so I can see where I'm going when I have to get through the dark without turning on a light. I like to have a little bit of light everywhere I go. And when I travel, I like to have a little light to plug in at the motel, or my phone charger works good for that. But I like a light on, so because sometimes that's pretty important. Now, I want to look at a couple of verses tonight. Matthew chapter number 5 to begin with. Matthew chapter number 5 is my light on. If I could say that there's maybe one thing that we, I include myself, as independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Baptist, whatever you want to call us, our stripe, maybe our stripe is beech nut fruit stripe gum or something, but whatever our stripe, if there's one thing that we're lacking, is what I talk to you about tonight. And I need it as much as you need it. And we all need it more than we realize. We need it. And the first verse I want to look at is Matthew chapter number 5. And verse number 14 through 16. This is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said in verse number 14, ye are the what? Light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And by the way, Jesus said that as long as he's in the world, he's the light of the world. Jesus is not in the world. He's before the right hand of God the Father in heaven right now. We're the light of the world. The Holy Spirit living in us is the light of the world now. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven, that they may see your good works. I'm talking about the light of our good works. God's people ought to be the best people in any community. Amen? We ought to be the most giving, the most caring, the most loving people there are in any community. God have mercy if the liberals take over in that area. Or the cultists take over in that area. We ought to be generous, giving, reaching out. It was such a delight yesterday. We were a little short-handed. So my wife and I got to get a little bit more involved in this. Of course, we're in the food pantry often and giving out food and to those in need. And I know there's some that take advantage of it, whatever the case may be. But it was a blessing yesterday to just go around and drop off some food boxes to people. And what a delight that is. What a joy that is. What a great testimony that is for our church. In fact, one gentleman that I asked you this morning to pray for him, he gave me a call this morning. Now, I don't generally answer my phone if I don't recognize the number, but I thought Sunday morning it might be somebody important and I didn't recognize the number. And I said, this is so-and-so that you talked to yesterday. And I was wondering if you stopped by this week. I have a donation I want to give to the food pantry. And I didn't tell him, well, good, because I've been praying about you ever since I talked to you. God convicted me about something. I need to talk to you about some other things. And I'm looking forward to going to see him this week. And we got his attention because we were giving out food baskets. That's a good testimony. And I'm not saying that to people. That's you. I'm thankful for a church that sees the value and the importance of that. And I know some folks would criticize a ministry like that. But I think it's something that a church ought to be doing, reaching out in their community, being seeing our good works. You young people ought to get in the habit of going to mow people's yard just to do it. Huh? Just to take care. You see somebody in need, go meet that need. Were they going to pay me? I hope not. You know, I was thinking about Brother Art yesterday, Isabel, when I was mowing. Because the last person that used to come and mow the grass, because I mowed the grass yesterday, last person that used to just volunteer to do it and would be offended if I tried to give him something for it was Brother Art. He loved that tractor, didn't he? I know, it was fun to him. And he just came to do it. And sometimes, especially in the heat of the summer, he'd cut the grass too low. He'd say, Brother Art, don't shave the grass, just cut the grass, all right? The stuff bakes in the hot sun when you cut it so short. But he just loved it. And just but now sometimes, well, we get somebody to do it if we offer them something. We give them something. It'd be good. And by the way, he was of a generation that folks just did stuff. That was a generation quite a while ago. Folks don't think that way, but we as Christians ought to think that way. What can I do to help? What can I do in my community to help, to be a blessing? Hey, I can go pick up trash somewhere. I can go do something that nobody has to know about. I can just go do it. Boy, that'd be a great teen activity. What? Are you crazy? That'd be a wonderful blessing right there. We're supposed to be the light of the world. Is my light on? Are we the light? Is our light of good works shining? Let's go to another passage of Scripture, 1 John. That's right before 2 John, for those who need help, all right? And that's just before 3 John. 1 2 Peter and 1 John. 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Is my light on? My light of good works. My light of fellowship. My light of fellowship. Verse number 5, we'll start there, chapter number 1 of the book of 1 John. This then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is what? Light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Isn't that a wonderful thought? In heaven, I won't need a nightlight anymore. There's not even going to be a shadow in heaven. You know something? I don't know about you, I love to watch the sunrise. I love to watch the sunset. But you know, and the reason I love it so much, because in heaven we don't get to see that anymore. There's not going to be any sunrise, there's not going to be any sunset, but the sky is going to be more spectacular than that all day long. And it's going to be beyond our ability to even comprehend what it's going to be. But with God, there's no darkness. There's no shadow of turning, James even says. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. How do we know we're walking in the light? Because the more we're in the light, the more we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. But you don't know what they did. Hey, if I knew what I did to Jesus Christ, I can love anybody. Hello? Well, what did they do to me? Nothing even compares to what I did to Jesus. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, that'd solve all the problems we have when we can't get along with somebody else. if we look at our sin. But if we say, well, I'm innocent in this situation, we're deceiving ourselves. Did you see that verse? I'm never innocent in any situation. Hello? Never, never, not once am I the innocent party. I'm not the victim. I'm the guilty party all the time. You say, well, they did more. Whatever. I don't keep score. I just know my own sin. If I say that I'm without sin, I'm a liar. If we confess our sin to agree with God. Now, in order to confess your sin, you're going to have to see your sin. You're going to have to ask God to help you see your sin. I don't know about you, but that's a good habit to get in that I learned some time ago, and I have to relearn it quite often. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Our fellowship is not right with Him if we say that we're innocent in any situation. Is my light of fellowship on? Is my light of good works on? Is my light of fellowship on? One other question, one other thing I want you to look at. Oh, we're going to go backwards for this one. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Is my light of good works on? Is my light of fellowship on? Is my light of my household on? And really, I'd like to take the time to look at Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, but I'm just going to look at the heart. Maybe I'll mention a couple of things in other chapters. Ephesians chapter number 5, I want you to see in verse number 8. For ye were sometimes, what? Notice it doesn't say ye were sometimes in darkness. We were darkness. By the way, we still are darkness. The only light in us is the light of Jesus Christ. Ye were sometimes darkness. That's all we were at one time before Jesus came in. We had no light in us. We weren't born with a spark of divinity. We're not born okay. We have a sin nature. That means I'm totally depraved. There's nothing, no good thing in me, the Apostle Paul says. I know in my flesh there's no good thing. We were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Only in the Lord, not in ourselves. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, are made manifest by what? The light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee, what? Light. Awake, that sleep is the light of my household. What it ought to be. How bright is the light in your household? How bright is the love, forgiveness? Well, we go back to chapter number 4. To put off concerning the former conversation, the darkness, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put away lying and speaking every man. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your... You ever go to bed angry? That just shut the lights off completely right there. If you hold on to anger. I know anger comes in, but give no place for it. Neither give place for the devil. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't use harsh words, angry words, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Grieve not the Spirit, whereby you are sealed in the day of... Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I love to see a home where kindness is always spoken. Hello? No harsh words, no angry words. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Oh, how bright is the light of our household. When our neighbors look in our windows, or when they hear us, the yelling. I mean, I can hear Alex and Bethany from here. Close these windows sometimes because it's embarrassing to listen to them sometimes. Just yelling and screaming all the time over there. What do our neighbors hear? You know, it's sad, but it's funny. But this happens quite often. How people put a different air about them when the preacher shows up. And it has happened quite often when I'm going out visiting. I'm knocking the door, and I'm not sure if I want to knock at the door because it sounds like there's a murder taking place right about the time I walk up to the door. And finally, I get up enough courage, and I say, "I'll stand to the sidewalk, honey. If you go knock on the door, I'll wait back here and pray for you, all right?" And they come to the door, and, "Oh, preacher, we were just having family devotions." Sound like you just offered one of your children for a sacrifice is what it sounds like to me. But we just love the Lord. We're just reading. We're singing the songs of Zion. I don't think those are songs of Zion. You were singing something. But it's amazing how... And what do our neighbors see? What do they hear? What is our testimony in our neighborhood? Oh, boy. The light of our household. I know some preachers and some of fundamental Baptists will say, "Well, bless God, that's a social gospel." No, that's just letting your light shine. That's just being a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. What's your testimony between your husband and wife? What do your children see? And mom and dad. They know mom and dad's relationship more than we ever want to give them credit for. They see more of us than they want to realize. And they know, "Mom and dad, are you fighting again?" "Yeah, but I'm winning this time. Keep your mouth shut, kid." What are they? Some of you know what that's like, huh? Matt and April, I'm just kidding. I'm just looking at their... Oh, what about the testimony of our house? I've literally walked in on people and that came to church and they got so embarrassed because they couldn't put a mask on before the preacher came, and they realized that they done showed me a side of them they didn't want me to know that they had, and that's the last time they ever set foot in church because they're embarrassed about that. I said, "You don't need to be. Hey, I love you. I'm praying for you. You want to talk about stuff? We're here for you, okay?" But, of course, they've got to put that air of perfection on. What about your workplace? What about our testimony? In fact, God deals with that in chapter number 6. And children, and your relationship to your parents. Oh, what a blessing it is when folks in the community say, "Hey, those kids, they go to your church. And I can see a difference in that. They're different than any other kids. They're so polite, so proper, so grateful, and hard workers, and a testimony for the Lord." Of course, they don't say that, but what a blessing it is. And it continues on in chapter number six, and talks about the workplace, and talks about our relationship on the job. Is our light on? Our light of good works, our light of fellowship, the light of our household, our testimony. You know, it's one thing to proclaim the truth, but it's another thing to live the truth. And by the way, both of them ought to be done. We ought to be proclaiming the truth, or ought to be living the truth. Jesus saved me, I'm not the same person he was. And by the way, I didn't grow up in a home like that, but when my wife and I got married, we decided we ain't going to have a home like I grew up in. There's going to be no teasing amongst the siblings. There's going to be no angry words spoken amongst each other. And by the way, that had to start with mom and dad first. If it's not true with mom and dad, it can't be true with the kids. Huh? Yeah, Jacob, that's why you're such a mess. You're looking at mom and dad. See, that's what you did to me. I watched you too much. If it's not true in our lives, we can't expect our kids to follow through on that. And we had some harsh, angry words. We had, I may have said it here, we're kind of joking about it on some of my siblings, some of the nicknames we had for each other. Some of them were things that I couldn't repeat in mixed company, but we used them quite often. Some of them were so bad we wouldn't dare say them around mom and dad. We might not talk or sit for the next week if we did. But we were pretty hard. We were pretty cruel. So that's no place for a Christian home. That kind of behavior doesn't go in a Christian home. That just doesn't belong. I want my light in my household to shine. I want my light in my fellowship. I'm going to say something about folks that are Christian people. Well, they're not the same as us. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad not everybody's the same as me. This world would be a bigger mess if everybody was like me. Huh? And we're all a mess. God created us the way we are. And we're to love each other no matter what we think, no matter what they do, no matter how they feel about us. It doesn't matter. I'm glad Jesus loved me no matter how I felt about Him. Even when I spit in His face, He loved me. Even when I denied Him, He loved me. Even when I cursed His name, He loved me. Thank God for His love. The question tonight, is my light on? Let me read you something here, then we're going to sing a song and we'll be done, all right? I'm just going to read it the way I have it written, or I'm going to mess up if I try to go from memory. I was doing this a little bit more research and add some things to what I already knew. The song, the Great Lakes are actually seas. Some of you guys, I took to Lake Superior a while back. You remember what the definition of a sea is? A sea is defined as a body of water, whether fresh or salt water, which are able to create their own weather patterns. Oftentimes in a sea, a life-threatening storm will appear with little or no warning. The weather pattern is due to the sheer size of the body of water or because of the mountains or landscape on the edge of the sea. As in the Sea of Galilee in the Bible times, you remember Jesus got caught in a couple of storms in that little body of water, the Sea of Galilee. And to us, we look at that in the map and say, that's just a little lake. What are we talking about? But with a mountain surrounding it, it makes it a sea, and storms can literally come up out of nowhere instantaneously. It can also be due to the depth and the temperature of the water and how it counteracts with the surrounding air temperatures. This is the case of America's Great Lakes. Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, Lake Erie, Lake Huron. In 1869, a passenger ship was traveling through Lake Erie in the dark night, and suddenly it was overtaken by one of these storms. The captain knew he was almost to Lorraine Harbor near Cleveland, Ohio, which was built to offer safe refuge just to the west of the city of Cleveland. At such times as this, in the wind and the blackness of night, he was able to make out the light from the lighthouse at the mouth of the harbor. As the ship came closer to the harbor, the captain cried out to the lighthouse keeper, "Is this Cleveland?" And the lighthouse keeper shouted back, "Quite sure. Can you make the harbor?" "We must or we perish," cried the captain of the wooden vessel as it creaked and groaned in the mountainous waves that now engulfed it. As they passed the lighthouse, the captain suddenly could see nothing to help him guide the ship beyond the lighthouse. He cried out one last time to the keeper of the lighthouse, "Where are the lower lights?" The last communication was the cry of the keeper of the lighthouse. "They've all gone out." Now, in today's world, that might not mean much to us, but the lower lights were the only reference point after the lighthouse to guide the ship safely into the harbor. These lights were the responsibility of another man whose job didn't seem as important as the lighthouse keeper. They also consisted of porch lights, house or merchant's lights that lined the shore of the harbor. Maybe it was the wind. Maybe the storm made it too difficult to keep the lights burning. Maybe the coldness, the lateness of the hour, or the indifference of those sheltered safe in the comfort of their homes. Either way, the lights were not burning that night. Whatever the case, there was no one that night tending the lower lights. With no guiding lights, the ship was soon dashed in pieces among the rocky shores before it reached the port. Many souls perished in the cold sea that night because the lower lights were not burning. The ship's captain, who was among the few survivors, recounted the story, which was written in the Chicago newspaper. D.L. Moody was preaching in Chicago at that time, and he recounted the story of this tragedy, and the crowd was well aware of the danger of traveling the Great Lakes. Philip P. Bliss, his musician, was listening intently to the sermon that night. He also had recently read the story and was brokenhearted to think of those that perished because of the negligence of others. Moody ended his stirring sermon with, "Brethren, the Master will take care of the great lighthouse. Let us keep the lower lights burning. The lights of our household, the lights of our good works, the lights of our fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ." Philip Bliss went home that night under deep conviction from the message. He later would tell a friend, "When I heard Mr. Moody use it as an illustration in his sermon that night, I cried out in my heart, 'Bliss, you are just as guilty as the man in the story, the keeper of the lower lights. As a Christian, you are to be one of the lower lights shining brightly as that some poor soul tossed about in the sea of life may find safety and everlasting life in the haven that God has prepared.'" Within a week, Mr. Bliss had penned the convicting words of this great song and challenge concerning our Christian responsibility to reach souls that are perishing. The musicians, go ahead and come up. We're going to